People are busy.
People are busy.
Right.
Let's go.
God's a little tougher. We're going to plug away.
We're going to say it out loud.
We're going to say it out very good. I'm sure everybody's been talking to themselves the past couple of weeks or past couple of days.
Right.
Okay, as long as you're accomplishing. That was a way from last week. We're again here. This is the fourth of the 48 ways. We're up to number four. Introduce yourself to yourself. Last week was say it out loud.
Right.
To talk, if you articulate what you have in mind, have a dialogue, you talk to yourself, you can solve your problems when you say it out loud. Turn goals into slogans. And never say you can't, because if you say you can't, it won't work. Let's see this week. Number four, this is such a fascinating of Rav Noach's explanations.
We have number three.
You have number three. That could be an issue, so let me give you number four. I just wanted to see if you were
paying attention.
Exactly. Did I print out number three a whole bunch of times? That would be an issue. That would be an issue. Hold on, this one will stop it now for a second.
You don't want the whole world to know this.
Four is introduce yourself to yourself. Introduce yourself to yourself.
By the way, can't we run this off ourselves in Asian?
You sure could. You sure could. Way number four. Introduce yourself to yourself, which in Hebrew is Bivinat HaLev. Again, these are the 48 ways that you're able to get Torah. This in Hebrew is Bivinat HaLev, which means an understanding of the heart. What we're talking about today is an understanding of the heart. Understanding of the heart, Rav Noach explains, we need to know who we are. Many of us go through our whole life, we don't know who we are. The classic example that he gives is, you see this every so often. This is a very respectful doctor, he's a cardiologist. Then one day you come in and he's working in a band as a guitarist. Or he decides to go off to India and he's going to become an artist. The person had everything. They were successful. There was meaning. There was contribution. They were everything. But they woke up later in life and figure out that that's not their purpose in life. So what we're trying to accomplish tonight, and again, that's why all of these are a masterpiece. Every single one, if you really study it and review it again, and you can listen to Rav Noach, who's, of course, the best to listen to and read it, you'll see a whole tremendous discipline. So he says again that many people go through life, they make assumptions, and they never meet who they really are. They don't meet their real you. He says, knowing yourself is the essence of being alive. Knowing yourself is the essence of being alive. So let's get started. Yes, yeah. And he's going to tell you, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. He says, imagine you can meet somebody. Somebody's coming to town, a historian, an intellect, a politician, somebody. He said, who is the most fascinating person you can meet in your life? You. The most fascinating person. I tell that to everybody. All right? The most fascinating person we can meet is ourselves. Because any question we have, we want to know the answer to. So I might interact, or you might interact with somebody, that person might not be interested, and frankly, I might not be interested in the answer. Here, we are interested in the question because we're asking it, and we're interested in the answer because we're answering it. That's what we have to develop. He said that what you should do is start by introspecting. You need an introduction. He says, sit down literally. Again, we're going to be talking a lot to ourselves when we do these 48 ways. Sit down and introduce yourself to yourself. Ask questions about your life and the direction that you're going. Search out your dreams, both the ones you're fulfilling and the ones that you pushed. Again, so you want to introduce yourself to yourself. And underliner is ask questions. This might be, ladies, a better way of doing it, because when you write, like I'm a big note taker, when you write, it becomes, right, internalized. It's exactly what I was thinking of. But if it's going down, you might not catch every word, but you're writing down the keys. That action of writing, I find, makes a tremendous, tremendous difference. So he says, get to the basics. What do you want? You want to be rich. You want to be famous. You want meaning. You want to accomplish. Then he says, here's the key question, why? Once you first do, okay, what do I want in my life? I want X. I want meaning. I want to give. And you have to ask why. Why do I want to give? What do I want meaning? And the whole point is to delve deeper. So why do I want to give? There's a right answer. And there's an answer to that. I want to give because I want to do good. I want to give for meaning. I want to give maybe because I want people to look up to me. So we know, all of us inherently know, that the last answer is not the right answer. Counterfeit answer. That's not a real true pleasure, as he says it. We all know inherently we want to give because we want to do good. We want to give because we want to help people. So, but then again, we're human. We are human, and maybe I want to give. There is a part of that. So he says these are conversations that we must have with ourselves, and most of us don't have. And it doesn't take an hour, and it doesn't take a day. Rav Noach says here in this lecture, it could take months, many, many months, until we know who we are. So that's it. The process, again, is getting started. Number one is introduction, and number two is introspection. He says this process is called self-discovery, asking questions and then wait for answers. I'm going to give you the top questions to ask. There are 10 of them, but write this down because this will make such a tremendous difference. The number one question, what is the number one question? Now that this is class number four, ladies, what do you think the number one question is?
Why am I here? Why do I exist?
All right, what is the purpose of life? Exactly. Exactly, 2 points from Mrs. Grama. What he says of life, but either one will get it. What is the purpose of life? Now he writes here, what is my goal in life? Then he writes, why did I choose this career? I'm in business, I'm a doctor, I'm in administration. Why? Number four, how do I spend my spare time? That's simple question is such a critical question. Number five, what is my motivation for doing what I do? Number six, what really makes me happy? Number seven is, am I as happy as I want to be? Am I as happy as I want to be? Three more. And tell me when you're ready. Number eight.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. When we discuss this, is it more important to be rich or
happy?
Very good, Mrs. Grama. You are good, very good. I want to be rich and famous. Is it more important to be rich or happy? What's the answer, by the way?
Happy. Because when you're happy, you are rich.
Right. Very good. And very often when you're supposed to, when you're rich, you're happy. No, but there are many rich people, as we said yesterday in Beverly Hills, that are not happy. Okay, number nine. Poor people also.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine, what are my future plans? Constantly have to think that through. What are my plans and why? My plans are to... go to college for younger. Mm-hmm. My plans are to go to college. Why?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask you, why? Let's take that example. My plan is to go to college. Why?
If you want to prepare for profession, if you want to be in educated, more sophisticated, not snobby way, but just a more developed person, if you think that that's important in life.
Have you developed that? Have you discussed it with people? Have you done research into why you're going to college as opposed to vocation?
I think a reason to want to go to college, and I'm using colleges to study further, college. A reason is that it bothers me that I don't know that.
Right.
It bothers me enough, because it's a huge effort to go to college, to study, to whatever it is you want to call it. So why don't we do it? Because I feel that it bothers me that I don't know.
So you feel like you're missing wisdom, you're missing knowledge. There's knowledge.
Any particular knowledge or just things in general?
No. You can't learn everything that is in the world. Obviously, maybe there's something you're doing. It could be anything. You could be a housewife cooking and bothers you that you don't know how to cook properly, you blow every supper. Or you could be a professional and you feel there's more to your field that's out right, there that right. you should know so you will
right.
be better,
right, right.
it bothers you. There's
right.
the need.
I
think a lot of kids who go to college when they're young, they're just going through the motions.
They're going through the motions and they're going, they didn't make the decision. We're going to be talking a lot about tonight. They didn't make the decision. It happened. My friends are going, this peer pressure. My parents want me to go. So I ended up in college. But that's not the right way. If I'm taking a massive step in my life, even a smaller, but certainly college, you're dedicating a chunk of your life, go through it. Now, you mentioned, again, I spoke to Talmud Chacham, a friend of mine, maybe 2 years ago about this. The whole point, and I might have mentioned in these classes, why are we learning? What's the point of it? One of the primary ways, if not the primary way to build a kesher with Hashem, is with our brain, mm-hmm. with learning. That activity, that system of learning, of studying, is how we build a kesher with Hashem. That is how we do it. That's what we're learning. In other words, because I've always asked in the past, if I need to know halacha, what do I need to go through all the depths of learning? Let me just learn the Shulchan Aruch, which the Rav at one point told me I should just do, if that's how I feel. But just learn A, B, C, halacha aleph, halacha beis. When you're learning, when you're analyzing, when you're spending your energy, that's a way to connect to Hashem.
You're talking about Torah learning.
I'm told right now with that, I'm talking about Torah learning. But in general, you're right. I'm involved with Ink Magazine has a council that I was involved with for a while. I don't know if you've seen Ink Magazine. I mean, you've seen it because you've done some of the logos. You know, Ink Magazine, they have it's a magazine for entrepreneurs and companies that are growing. And one of the things that their executive director, who's not from, but a friend of mine, he said that the common denominator between everybody that sits on a certain council is that they're all, quote, lifelong learners. Lifelong learners. When you have that, you're living. Because you always, as you mentioned before, I always want the next point. I always want. So that's number 9. Also, critically, they're so simple lines, but you have to implement it. Number 9 was, what are my future plans and why? And the last one of Noach writes is 10. What are my secret dreams and ambitions? What are my secret dreams and ambitions? This is something we should have with us always, because time goes by. Even if we have certain responsibilities, don't put them away. We have secret ambitions, whatever we all have. This is something critical. And what happens in life is that a day, a week, a month, and decades goes by, and then we think, when we're older, why didn't I do it? Now, you can't always do it, but introduce yourself to yourself. So he says again, as I mentioned, this could take many months to ask.
What if
you're satisfied with it? Okay, so then there are another 9 questions also. No, again, but we always want to grow. Let's see some of the questions you asked Mrs. Rambo. What if you're satisfied, but we still might not know the answer, which is going to talk about what is the purpose of life. So I am satisfied, you are satisfied, but what's the purpose? So I'm satisfied with it, but I don't even know why I'm here. That's
all part. Here.
No, but what is my goal? Hashem put us here. But what is my goal now in life? I'm satisfied. There are plenty of people. We talk about in Kirov. Some people, they don't. They have the right spouse. They have the right. Their kids are normal and they have meaning and all that. What is? I don't need rabbi, doctor, or whatever. But the answer is there's a lot more, as we know, depth in life. They might not know it, but. That's the underlying number one question. What is my purpose here? I can be as satisfied. But if I can't answer that fundamental numero uno question, I'm missing the boat. Mm-hmm. What is my purpose in life? And what I said before, again, boys could be in yeshiva for 50 years learning all day, and they can't answer the question. So that is something to spend time on. That what? No? We want to know what we're here for. No, but that is, again, all part of it. So the purpose of life, that again, we have to give that class. Again, maybe next time we'll have 3 people. You know, we have to give that class. There are 100 people at standing room only. Why don't we say, you know, there's a class called the 5 Levels of Pleasure, which I need to make a note that we have to do it together. But that is one of the fundamental questions. Okay, next part over here. Confidence in decision making.
That's number 3.
Now we're in the next part. Confidence, what do you have as number 1 and number 2?
Introduce yourself.
Introduction, introspect, so we'll call this number three. Confidence in decision making. People often avoid making decisions out of fear of
commitment,
failure, mistake. They do not want. He says the failure to make decisions is one of life's biggest mistakes. Not making decisions is one of life's biggest mistakes.
Even a little thing.
He said, Hashem gave us free will. Why do we have free will? To make choices in life and achieve greatness. Such a good line. Hashem gave us free will to make choices in life and achieve greatness. But if we don't know that we have free will, if we don't know, we don't really have it. He gives an example. Imagine a pauper who gets a letter in the mail that you just inherited a few million dollars. If he never opened the letter because he was too lazy, is he rich or poor? He's poor.
He's stupid.
He's poor. If we don't use it, if we have free will, then and we don't know about it, then we made a poor decision. If you're not using your potential, it wears away your confidence. Do you know what your potential is? Have you tried to use it? You have to tackle life. Again, I'm going to reiterate, and this is what Reb Noach does all the time. This is a first class. Constant repetition. So I'm going to be repeating a lot as well. The biggest pain, the biggest hurt that we will get, hopefully none of us here, after 120 is when they show us what we could have been. Not what Yankel or Rivka or Shmerel could have done, but what we, with our strengths and our weaknesses, they're going to show a picture of what we could have. I could have done that and all I did was this. That pain, some I think even say is Gehenna. That pain will be the worst. That's why we have to constantly thinking, what can I be doing? Let's get on with the game of living life, not just going through the motions. Most of us are walking zombies. We wake up, we go to work, we brush our teeth, we go to the wedding, we come back, and it goes in. We're not applying ourselves. We're not using our free will. We're not having these conversations with ourselves. Fine, do the obligations. But you can't. But well, I have to decide. Maybe my obligation is not the right thing. My obligation is to be working at this job, but maybe that's not.
Well, how do you know?
Oh. Now you're talking like a Lamdonis, right? How do we know?
Self-introspection.
That's what we have to do. We have to imagine this problem that we just said before. We have to. Somebody wants to get married, ask the question, why do I want to get married?
Everybody's
getting married, but go through it. So why do we want to get married? Why?
Because we want to build.
We want to have a companion. We want to give, whatever it is. But again, why? Be frank. It's yourself. Ask any questions. Be patient, and eventually you'll get the answer. Identify where you lack confidence. He gives another example. Where do we lack confidence? What makes you nervous? What keeps us from being ourselves? Why can't we make decisions? Noach says, enjoy making decisions. Mm-hmm. That's loving the dynamics of life. Enjoy making decisions. That's loving the dynamics of life. Sure. Adam la'amal yulad. A person was born here to work. W-O-R-K. Many people don't like to hear that. We were born, by the way, and that gives us tremendous, if you think about it, anything, I don't want to, we're here to work, but we can enjoy working. It's not supposed to be that we have chains on us. This is a mindset. There's going to be challenges. I'm here to work, let me work and enjoy. That's what he said. He said the word, not me, enjoy making decisions. If we think of it as a hardship, it's going to break us. That's, and if you think about it, I tried it this week because I was supposed to go to Israel this week. I was supposed to go Sunday night, and I was supposed to go today. My father's yahrzeit was yesterday. I haven't missed in 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
But he's married in Israel. So what happened? Last week, if you remember, Reb Noach said it's so simple. How do you make decisions? What should you do to make decisions?
Well, let's see, we have three.
Right, we have number three there. How do you make decisions?
Articulate.
Articulate, let's see where it is.
Yes, say it out loud.
Ask your wife, say it out loud, but we had another one. Oh, page number three. Solve problems out loud. Very good. But what does it say to do? Very good. You guys are listening. That's a headline. What does it say?
Write
a list of the pros and cons. And that's the kicker, assign a value to each item. Meaning, I did that. It was so simple. I did that with my mind. I said, what are the pros and what are the cons of going? So I had pros and I didn't end up going. The pros were, it's my father's yard set, I could be there on time. The pros were, I'm going to see my kids and the kids are looking forward to seeing me. The pros were that I had apartment light up. The pros was that I had the flight lined up. There were a lot of pros. The cons were a minor detail war. But I did ask the Rav, and he said to go anyway. So what am I doing here? There was another con. I'm in the middle of work, and to get up now, in the middle, it's like being in the middle of surgery. Oh, hold on, I'm going to leave. So although there were more line items of pro, there were some serious pros, there was a massive con that it would have been lunacy for me to pick up in the middle. There's just so much going on. You know that sometimes. I could not go. It would have been totally irresponsible. So, and I got that. You know how I got it? I would have agonized more, because what did he say normally when he said, what did we say last week? When somebody says he's going to make, and I told this to my wife, I said, when you make a decision, what does that really mean I'm going to be doing? I'm going to think about it, I'm going to make a decision. Doesn't mean I'm going to think about it, it means I'm going to agonize about it. I could have agonized, and I implemented this, I listed them, and I had more pros, but this con was in my face, and I said, forget it. And I was able to sleep at night, you know? What? Naomi didn't go either. Now that the whole world, whoever's listening, knows what's going on. But sure, yeah, which most normal people do, you know, right. But now I made the...
Some people feel very strongly about that.
Right.
Right,
for sure. But that's the key. Write down the pros and the cons. These are such simple things, but if you implement it, it changes. Next part. Next part is isolate your blocks. Now, we're not talking about Lego here. B-L-O-C-K-S.
That's number four?
Okay. Number four, yeah. Isolate your blocks. Some things we find that are difficult for us. When you find something difficult to achieve, figure out what's holding me back. We need to know ourselves. We sometimes, very often, keep hitting the same block. And like in business, with the consultant I have, he says, you hit a lid. It's breaking the lid. What is it? He said, everybody has problems. Be aware of your problems and get in touch with yourselves. We have to face our problems. What is it? Turn, go for your blocks, and you listen, and they're tremendous. Number one, am I lazy? That's hard sometimes. Am I lazy? And that same one, why? Am I lazy? Let's say the answer is yes. Why? Number two, am I disorganized? Am I disorganized? Let's be frank. Why? Number three, do I get angry? And when? Again, there's a block. That's a good question. But he has this, it's a block. So I get angry and therefore I can't accomplish something, let's say.
Okay.
Number four, why do I get defensive? I can't do that. Don't get involved in it. Why am I getting defensive? And when? Number five. 1, 2, 3, 4. What makes me jealous? That's number five. Number six.
I guess if you know what makes you jealous, then you know what you really want.
Maybe. That's definitely a part of it, I would think.
If you don't want something, you wouldn't be jealous. But if like your gut reaction without even thinking about it, I guess you're right.
What?
I didn't even guess something.
One, two, three. Number six. Is what makes me arrogant?
There we go.
What makes you guys so arrogant? I want to switch it from me to you. What makes you arrogant? What makes us arrogant? Next one. Do I have trouble making decisions? Do I have trouble making decisions and why?
See, I think a lot of these things happen to people when they're formed as youngsters, as children. And then really have to go through therapy to work it out.
Exactly, 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 exactly. That's what he says. Renoir says, you can go to a $250 psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. And what does a good psychiatrist do?
Lets you talk and think.
And he expresses it, pulls it out of you, he unlocks you. Mm-hmm. A good psychiatrist, a psychologist, will unlock you. So Renoir says, why spend a few $1,000? Do it to yourself. We spoke about this last time and again, but that's the essence here. Do it to yourself or with a friend back and forth, and we can do it. Because you don't want to have to keep going back to this. Sometimes you need it. If there's a trauma or something, you might need. But on a general basis, we have three more here. Do I lack self-discipline? Do I lack self-discipline? Second to last one, do I lack self-confidence? You've got to work on that muscle. Do I lack self-confidence? It's a problem. And the last is, why don't I take more initiative? Why don't I take more initiative? What's so funny? What?
It's going straight.
I know, it goes straight. This is right in the, he doesn't mince words. I know, it goes straight into our gut. This is straight into our, am I lazy? I mean, this is straight. You should know, number three, it happened with me, and I finally figured it out after a very long time. Matzah Shabbos, I go crazy.
Usually it's Friday.
No, Friday, we get Friday. That's one kind. And then Matzah Shabbos, I have this restlessness. That's the best word. Right. No, so I'm happy. I hope it's a Ruchnius thing. No, but it was constant. So again, I'm not such a, but and I told this to somebody else, and this is not so uncommon. In other words, why, again, some people, if they're cooped up all day and they're, but I'm not cooped up, I'm running to shul, I'm running around, I don't need that, I don't have that craziness, I have a lot of walking to do, but I found myself so restless, and I spoke, I think, to Rabbi Cohen, is the neshama.
I feel depressed.
You feel depressed?
Yeah.
Like after a Yom Tov, I feel depressed after an 8-day Yom Tov, then you got to go back to reality.
I'm not sure if it's going back to reality.
The loss, okay. So depressed, I get very restless. So again, it's not always that simple.
What if you know that you have to go out if you have a possible
So that's what I tried to do. I wanted to exercise. I wanted to, and the few times I did that, it helped a lot.
That's what I said, because there's not enough structure.
To what? Oh, then not enough structure on the Motzei. No, I could be busy. I could have a ton of stuff to do, and I'm still restless, and I can't get to it.
But I
might not want to do it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday either. But I'm not getting restless. I'm not a Shabbos, I get restless.
Because during the week we are in a working modality the whole day.
Okay.
Shabbos, we stop and say, oh, I don't want
right, to that's what. Right. That's why we're tired. Also, why on Shabbos do I need to take a nap, and the rest of the week usually I don't. I mean, part of it is having a massive 7-course meal, but the other part of it is right that we're, we are on a more quiet.
What I found in my life is that if you're lucky enough to have experiences that you get validated and acknowledged for what you've done, I think that builds your self-confidence.
Wait a minute, stop right there. What you're really saying is that you have a need, right? And that's what we have to get beyond.
Right.
That means because something was given to you from the
outside. Exactly.
Because you didn't get something from your child.
Okay.
So how are you going to replace that?
But we all have to work. That's
right.
Exactly
right.
You know, some people got it from their childhood. And
most people. No parent is perfect. I have not met a perfect parent.
I'm not saying that. I'm just...
And there's always something. Always.
Right.
Always.
That's where he's leading to. He's leading to that now that we shouldn't... And it's a hard thing to do. That we should not need validation. The example he gives, you come home, the boss said, you did a great job today. Okay, that's nice, but who cares? It should be who cares. We're human, so we feel great. Or if the boss lashed out at you, then you come home, and then you lash out at your spouse and at the kids and everybody around you. But why? We have to separate. It's a hard thing to do. But the way we start is by implementing this year, know myself. So I have a need. I need validation. Why do I need validation? Is it because of when I was a child I didn't get validation? Is it because I have a lack of self-confidence? Okay, I have a lack of self-confidence. Talk it over. Why do I have a lack of self-confidence? Because when I was younger, I spoke in front of the class and they laughed at me because I stutter, because something else. Why? The other person can do it. I should be able to do. That's why saying this takes months. We just spent 30 seconds on it. Or years. But we need to know ourselves, and then maybe, I'm extrapolating from here, maybe those four things, maybe I can go to somebody to help me with it. But I can't go to somebody or wasting time until I really know what the issues are. Work on it on ourselves. So he says the next part, if this is number five, read your emotions. Get in touch with your emotional state. Get a reading. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm tense. Emotions are a measuring stick for what's going on below the surface. Emotions are what's out. They're a measuring stick. It's like taking your temperature.
Mm-hmm. What did you say after that?
I'm happy. I'm
right.
Sad.
Yeah. Right. Emotions are a measuring stick of what's going on below. They're a measuring stick of what's... It's so tremendous. Measuring stick of what's going on below. Why are you upset? Who is pressuring you? Why? He says, once you've ID'd, I'm making the word shorter for you because you're writing, once you've identified the negative feelings, adjust yourself to minimize the impact. This is important. Once you've identified what causes negative feelings, then adjust yourself to minimize the impact. Either avoid the situations, or prepare yourself to handle them when they arise. That's why we've spoken about here, get ready. Like the example I might have said over here, that before, by the wedding, there was a book that was given out for a wedding, the Jewish Guide to Weddings for Chassanim and Kalas and their parents. And they, one of the numerous insights that they gave over there is that when you have your wedding, be ready for five things that will go wrong. One, two, three, four, five. When you make a simcha, did I mention this to you?
No.
Get ready, five things will go wrong.
When it happens, then you're ready for it.
Right. And then when it happens, I told this to my brother-in-law overseas, and he said it helped him. I said, and I told this to myself too. He, when the first thing happens, like by him, he forgot to send somebody to pick up the rav to come to the wedding. Now, if you're not ready for that, you'll go crazy. I messed up. How did I do it? It's the wedding. I'm vaza him. It's going to mess up the whole thing. But what they said to do is, when it happens, say, oh, that's number one. The first thing that gets messed up, the chicken's cold, everybody, the chicken's hard. Just go. Right, get ready before. In other words,
that
what? If you want to do that even before, you can. You can do that. But this was specifically for the night of the wedding. So when that happens and the chicken is cold, that's number two. It's so simple. And I did that also. Get ready. So if you know, I'm giving you an example now. Something now, that's what he just said over here. If identify the negative feelings, adjust yourself. So if you know whenever you come to shul, there's a particular person, it shouldn't be, but we're human, is going to get under our skin. So what you do is, say, adjust yourself to minimize the impact. Say to yourself, I know so-and-so is going to bother me, and I'm going to be ready, and I'm not going to let it bother me. And when it happens, give yourself a pat on the back. When it happens, I knew that was going to happen.
I do that.
You're ready.
I do that.
You do that already. Don't tell me about who. But I'm saying, do just give me, I always tell everybody, just give me the initials, the first and the last initial, and where they sit. Right. You do that. Sam, does it work?
I do self-talk. I say to myself, don't respond.
Right, exactly. But I'm saying, but even do it before you walk in the building.
Right.
And that way, when it comes, you even have a sense of strength. I predicted it, and I am ready. That's why, in other words, before you do what anything you do, before they pump up a team when they're going in to play a game, they pump up their soldiers before they go in, to be ready for the unexpected. Again, here we're talking about when I expect somebody to bother me, but in the other one,
also unexpected.
Unexpected, when it comes up in war, get ready for it, get ready. Really?
Sits next to me,
running around all over.
Really? That's I don't either, by the way. So okay, so that's good.
There are places that do
that. Right. No peanuts and perfume.
Right. No peanuts and perfume. Pinpoint what makes you happy. That's also another tremendous takeaway. You can have more joy every day if you know what makes you happy. You're a chocoholic, I'm a chocoholic. Have a box of chocolate in there.
That's small.
You know what makes you happy and you can't really get it. Yeah.
Okay. But
it might make you happy to have that box of chocolate. It'll make you unhappy
right.
to stand on the scale.
Okay. Okay, I got to be careful with that one. Okay, I hear. Right. Now he says over here, get in touch with your two sides. Before we were saying reading your emotions, now we need to know, he says, there's a volcano in each and every one of us. We spoke about this before, the difference between want and feel like. I want to be great, but I feel like sleeping in. I want to be great, but I feel like sleeping in. Get in touch with your two sides. Get in touch with your soul and with your body. That's the conflict between the soul and the body.
Oh.
That is each day. Rev Daniel speaks about this as every day.
What I want to get up and start my day, but
right.
I feel like sleeping.
What you want versus what you feel like. I want to go to medical school. I want to be a doctor, but I feel like taking it easy. But you really want, but I feel like. Focus on what we want, not what we feel like. It's tremendous.
Right?
I feel like it. I don't feel like it. But you want it. We really do. But then you have
maybe
to work
you
it.
Maybe you think you really want it, but you really don't.
Maybe
no,
not.
No, that's what it is. You go to point
right.
one, get in touch
right.
with yourself.
Right.
That's what I'm saying, because right. you may think you want it because your parents told you it's prestigious. Okay, so then you write
right.
down your list. You write down your list of pros
right.
and cons.
Right.
The same thing. Why
right.
do I want it?
Right. So he says here, do you want change? You don't need to write down. What have you against it? Are you talking to yourself over here? Feel the antipathy of the body. Why are we so lazy? The body just wants to sleep. I don't want to change. I'm happy enough. I'm satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable in my niche of misery. That sounds very bad.
You get that little thing inside your stomach when you know something is
wrong. Right. You see the importance of tracking that down. You have to identify the animal you're fighting, the dread of change. We don't want change.
Mm-hmm.
You can break it if you have gavura. You need the strength. If you're alert, you can see the enemy. You can fight it. You might lose a struggle with the body, but at least you have confidence. I know what I'm doing. We must be aware. We have to get out of being a zombie-like. He says now, coax the body. Here is a secret formula. Identify with your intellect. You can write this one down. It's a good line. Please. Identify your intellect and coax your heart along. Identify with your intellect. Use your head, your soul, with your intellect. And then coax your heart, which means like the body, along. So he gives an example. If you know and you're convinced the importance of exercising, then even when you break out in a sweat and your heart is pumping, you're going to keep doing it. You know why? Because you want to do it, even though you don't
feel like
doing it. I want to do it. I'm identifying with my intellect, and I'm not going to let my lazy body control me. That's the key over here.
Mm-hmm.
Teach your body. It's not going to be so bad. Remember the last time you thought it was difficult. Talk to yourself. Again, I want to see everybody talking all the time. On the street, talk to yourself. Wear a badge that says 48 ways. Right, okay, 48. Just keep going around with 48. Right. Know what you know. One of the last parts over here is know what you know. He says, just because you think, know what you know. That's your right to quote. Know what you know. Means just because you think you understand something doesn't mean you're living with it. That's another, what's the line? Just because you think you understand something doesn't mean you're living with it. He says a lot of people A lot of people believe in Hashem, mm-hmm. but very few people live with Hashem. Mm-hmm. I believe a lot of people believe, most of the world believes, 80% even, believe in Hashem. That's what Reb Noach said once. 80% of the people believe in a supreme being, but very few people live with it. Right. So here's where we are. Take your time. This is what we've spoken about before. To understand the meaning of existence. What is the afterlife? What makes me sad? And he says again, so I'll give you the takeaways over here, the final questions to ask, or these are the points. Identify, here are the prime points. Identify your problems. It's the beginning of solving them. Identify your problems. It's the beginning of solving them. The next one is emotions are powerful forces of greatness. Emotions are powerful forces of greatness. Know them and harness them. I'll give you one more and then we can end. Don't be afraid of finding out who you really are. Don't be afraid of finding out who you really are. I think this is the most important one we've done.
Mm-hmm. This is the best. It is. And you know what? I think it's better when we don't have an answer.
Really?
I think you internalize it when
right.
you write it down. You listen better.
Right, right.
Less passive.
Right. Less passive. You're active. You're active.
Yeah,
it's critical.
And
oh, no. So go home
okay.
and think about it.